Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today's stories: what if your small business data is held for ransom? Profiting from the climate agreement in Paris, and the race to make a handheld device to scan food for bacteria. Well, the FBI is wrestling with an increasingly common type of computer hacking, one that requires victims to pay ransom to get their personal data back. It's a form of extortion in which hackers infiltrate the computer of a business or individual, encrypt the personal data, then demand a payment to decrypt it, usually a fee ranging from $200 to $10,000. More on how to approach it from Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett. Devlin, explain.
The dynamic that everyone's struggling with is a thing called ransomware, which is basically when either a business computer or a personal computer suddenly gets a message that says, all your data has been encrypted. If you want it back, you have to send a certain amount of money to this place by, you know, in X days. And it's so ransomware, the good versions of it are very, very effective. And recently at a cybersecurity meeting in Boston, an FBI official said, look, honestly, we just tell people to pay it because it's that good, and that's really their only option. Which is interesting because obviously there's a general rule in law enforcement that you don't pay ransom because it only encourages more criminal crime. When I asked the FBI about that public statement, they interestingly won't say if they encourage people to pay ransom or not. And I think you can infer a few things from their refusal to answer that question. I don't think it's the U.S. policy to encourage people to pay extortion, but I think as a practical matter, we've reached a point where hackers who use ransomware are so effective that essentially if you're telling a victim, look, door number one is terrible, door number two is terrible, door number three, which is paying, actually works, you are, in essence, oftentimes advising them to pay ransom.
Jeez. All right. So back up just a second
Sure.
here. And that is for people or companies whose information gets stolen slash encrypted slash held for ransom. Have
Right.
they done something poorly on the security front,
or are
the hackers just that good?
It's a little bit of both. One, the hackers are good, but it's also not that hard to do once you have the right tools, meaning the right kind of ransom software. The companies and people who don't have much to worry about from ransomware, from encryption ransomware, are those that back up their data regularly. If you back up your data regularly and someplace separately, you know, if you get an encryption, if you get a ransom demand because your data's been encrypted, you can go to where you keep the copy of your data and just use that. You can tell the hacker, you know, no thanks, I'm not paying, because you know you already have a backup of that data. The people who are really out of luck are the folks who don't have a recent backup of their data.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett. His piece is called Paying Ransoms to Hackers Stirs Debate. All right, so isn't there the threat, I guess, that if you do pay, the hacker comes back in a month and says, hey, we're back and we've re-encrypted.
Right. Exactly. That's always a danger, first with the first hacker, but also what one of the things that's really sort of interesting about ransomware, just as a reporter, is that a lot of people who are victims do not want to talk about it because they expect that if they acknowledge they've ever been victims, they will be victimized again. It will make them bigger targets to say they were a target once. So it's a big problem. It's one, and it's one that, frankly, the government can only do so much to fight.
Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett. Coming up next, profiting from the climate deal in Paris. We'll have ideas for small businesses.
You don't have to be a retail giant or government agency to be the victim of a costly data breach. If you run a website and collect customer data, your small to mid-sized business is just as likely to be targeted by hackers. The Barracuda Web Application Firewall provides cost-effective instant security against automated and targeted attacks, making this WAF a must-have for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Web App Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/WAF.
As countries from around the globe consider final approval to a climate agreement in Paris, investors on Wall Street are already trying to figure out ways to profit from it. Is there an entry point here for a small business as well? Here's Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman. Rick, what's up here?
industrial firms like General Electric, Honeywell, Siemens, Owens Corning, I mean, these are old companies you might associate with the sort of dirty smokestack era. But the fact is, these are companies that actually build a lot of power generating equipment. They build big machinery that's part of infrastructure. And they are going to be critical to the effort to burn fewer fossil fuels and just and lower emissions. There are two things that these companies can do. One, keep building the same type of equipment they're already building, but make it more efficient so it simply uses less power. And two, look for breakthroughs where maybe you can get away from the fossil fuels or cut back the burning of fossil fuels significantly. So those companies will play an important role there. A few others, appliance makers, singling out here Electrolux and Whirlpool. Appliances use a lot of energy, and they're looking hard at ways to cut down on the amount of energy appliances use, and that will be a big contributor. I mean, anything that, if you can even just cut power use by a couple of percentage points in a short period of time, you've made a kind of a big contribution to the reduction of emissions.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. His piece is called Surprising Ways to Cash In on Climate Change. How do tech companies factor in here, Rick?
Yeah, tech companies are important for two reasons. First, with everything that's moving to the cloud, the cloud doesn't literally exist in the cloud, as some people think. It exists in these gigantic server farms that use tons and tons of power. They're really power hogs. So finding ways to cut back on power generation at the big data servers run by companies like Apple and Amazon will be really important. And then the companies that make the equipment are right in the middle of that, too. And that's companies like Cisco, Intel, and IBM. IBM's interesting. You don't think of IBM's been around for, I think, almost 100 years, and you certainly don't think of IBM as a clean energy company. But it plays an important role, or it will or could, in efforts to cut back, because new kinds of processors and other parts of the digital infrastructure that use less power will be incredibly important. And then one other area where these tech companies are important is the so-called Internet of Things, which is when every device is connected to every other device, and we have smart appliances that you can communicate with through your remote device and so on. If we get there, and it's not as easy as it might sound, but the homes and buildings will just be a lot more efficient. For the most part, nothing will turn on until you absolutely need it. So your lights may dim until your house knows that you're, just a mile away, and then the lights may go on. Appliances may run on low power when you're not there or when you don't need it, and it'll just allow for more efficiency. So another reason tech companies will be important.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman. Finally, good news if you're worried about foodborne illnesses and want to know exactly what you're eating. The power to scan your own food at a molecular level is coming, and in some cases, it's already here. A startup company called Six Sensor Labs has come up with a small device that can detect gluten. The company is also working on a handheld product that would be able to recognize bacterial contaminants such as E. coli and Salmonella in what's on your plate. Reminder, by the way, you can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. And we encourage you to leave feedback, too, on whatever podcast platform you use, like iTunes or SoundCloud. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small business, shoot me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.